Blog Talk Radio.
Party in the Spirit of America Party book and the Spirit of America Party radio show. Happy D-Day, if you can call D-Day happy. We lost 6,000 men on the shores of Normandy. That must have been one hell of a day. And how lucky we were, God smiled on us, because a couple of clicks away were two German Panzer divisions and waiting to get the order to go and drive the Americans off the beach. But Adolf Hitler was doing drugs, and his orders were not to be disturbed. So God put him in a deep sleep. And he slept in the arms of Morpheus and allowed our troops to establish a foothold. And you think about that. It was raining before they got there, and it was probably raining after. But on that one day, the sky opened up just to let those guys get ashore. Can't be a miracle. Why would God favor us? Maybe he does. Maybe he likes Americans. Maybe he sees something in us that he doesn't see in other nations. Maybe he sees a spirit of America. Let's not lose it, whatever it is we got. And if you remember the Battle of the Bulge, the GIs, the Germans, had almost beat us. And Patton called the chaplain and told him to create a prayer for clear skies. And the skies cleared, and all those bombers came and blew the hell out of all those heavy-duty Panzer tanks. Panzer tanks. Huh? Thanks a million, Lord. Thanks a million. Yeah. I think, and if you want more proof that God works miracles for the United States, how about the miracle of the dimple chads that allowed Bush a second term? I'll take a second term of Bush any day over this communist. Over this nasty communist. And today was D-Day, and he didn't even do anything. He was getting his picture taken with Elton John, I think. He was trying to steal Elton John from the Queen of England. God help us. Let's check and see what the news says, and then we'll jump to a tune. It's going to be all patriotic today, because nobody was paying attention. And I want to definitely give back George Washington and Abraham Lincoln at their birthdays. This President's Day crap has got to be overruled, withdrawn, and reinstated. Should be a George Washington, the first president, and Abraham Lincoln, the last great Republican. So hang in there. We'll take a look and see what the news has to say here. Do you know Bill Maher, the atheist? And do you know what his biggest regret is? Bill Maher's biggest regret is that John Wilkes Booth didn't get Mrs. Lincoln, too. What a nasty guy. But you see, the devil pays them with big money. David Letterhead, $40 million a year. Bill Maher just bought a piece of the Mets. And I know Mets fans that are throwing up tonight. They can't order hot dogs anymore. They're sick. Wake up, America. This is from a guy that sends me blogs. Let's see what he has to say. When the reward is great, the effort to succeed is great. But when government takes all the reward away, no one will try or want to succeed. Is this man truly a genius? An economics professor at a local college made a statement that he had never failed a single student before, but had recently failed an entire class. And that class had insisted that Obama's socialism worked and that no one would be poor and no one would be rich, a great equalizer. So the professor said, okay, we'll have an experiment on Obama's plan. All grades will be averaged and everyone will receive the same grade, so no one will fail and no one will receive an A. And substituting grades for dollars is something closer to home and more readily understood by all. After the first test, the grades were averaged and everyone got a B. The students who studied hard were upset and the students who studied little were happy. As the second test rolled around, the students who studied little had studied even less, and the ones who studied hard decided they wanted a free ride too, so they studied little. The second test average was a D. No one was happy. When the third test rolled around, the average was an F. As the test proceeded, the scores never increased, as bickering, blame, and name-calling all resulted in hard feelings and no one would study for the benefit of anyone else. To their great surprise, all failed, and the professor told them that socialism would also ultimately fail, because when the reward is great, the effort to succeed is great, but when government takes all the reward away, no one will try to succeed. Could it be any simpler than that? Remember, there is a test coming up, the 2012 elections. These are possibly the five best sentences you will ever read, and all applicable to this experiment. You cannot legislate the poor into prosperity by legislating the wealthy out of prosperity. What one man receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. The government cannot give to anybody anything that the government does not first take from somebody else. You cannot multiply wealth by dividing it. When half of the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it does no good to work because somebody else is going to get what they work for, that is the beginning and end of a nation. Anybody who's going to vote for Obama is selling out their country. And I just saw a great movie headed up by Andy Garcia, The Greater Glory. And it's about Mexicans and how they suffered for their religion. And I got to tell you, when you see the zeal of some of these people in other countries for the worship of Christ, it blows your mind. I was in Kuwait in 91, I think. It was a Sunday, and I was walking along the beach, and there was a big parking lot, and I noticed that on the other side of the parking lot was a building that had crosses cut in the doors. And because you can't have a cross in Kuwait on top of a building. So the Catholics who were from Kerala, India, and Goa, India, who were working there for $80 a month, and living on 20 and sending 60 home, they were going to church on Sunday, and they had cut the crosses in the door, and there was a church there, sure enough. But it was full. It was full of all those Indians because it was their day off. And all of a sudden, the entire parking lot, 110 degrees, filled up with trucks. You know, the steak rack trucks? And these Indians were wedged in there, and they were all there to hear Mass. And that's all they could do was hear it, because they couldn't get close enough to the altar. What a great zeal. I was totally impressed. I was totally impressed. And if you see Andy Garcia's movie, you too will be totally impressed to see what people do for the love of Christ. And today, that persecution goes on in Muslim lands, especially in Africa, where Christian boys are nailed to wooden chairs. They're actually crucified in wooden chairs for being Christian. We got a lot of learning to do. We have forgotten what it's like to pay the price for freedom. We are spoiled. We are the brats of the universe. So, let's see what else we got to read here, or should I just jump into a tune? Let's do a little tribute. Let's do a tribute. We'll do the Navy hymn to the Navy, the 22 Navy SEALs that were killed in an ambush, and 8 other military guys, totaling 30, in a chopper that was taken out by a rocket-propelled grenade. So they say. I personally think they were lured into an ambush, and they were murdered. And it was covered up in the press. You never heard about it. All you heard is Obama got bin Laden. But nobody's telling you he lost the SEAL Team 6. And they'll tell you, well, that's not the same SEAL Team that got bin Laden. SEAL Team 6 to me is SEAL Team 6. And you lose 22 of them, you lost SEAL Team 6. And the press covered it up. It was only in the paper for one day under the title Chopper Crash. See how they smooth things over? See how they make things disappear? They can make your mind disappear. From Grasstops USA, breaking, John Boehner and our Republican leaders are planning to betray us again and scuttle the fast and furious investigation because they believe you won't make them pay the price for their cowardice. Well, first we got to regain control of the government and take it away from the communists, and then we can purge our own. Okay, let's do a little Patton treat. Want a little Patton? George Patton. If he walked into the Pentagon today, all you would hear is shots and people jumping out the window. You know, he shot the two mules for holding up a tank column and threw them off a bridge. Can you imagine what he'd do if he seen seven officers putting a lieutenant in jail for 15 years, in prison for 15 years, and not one of the officers had combat experience? How many shots would ring out on that pistol?
Hiya, boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington: in time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict. Fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and thinks, therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's, I left that, and that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back, if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Ah, 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 ah.
Scenario where a low man on the totem pole gets caught taking bribes, and because he didn't share it with the higher man on the totem pole, he's thrown to the wolves. But if he shares it with the higher man on the totem pole, he gets cover. So it's always interesting when that scenario develops. And it looks like the House Ethics Committee resumes a case against Maxine Waters. So I'm wondering just how far up the line is she covered? And I'm sure she's covered pretty far up the line. Now, John Corzine, he's covered all the way to the top. So, I mean, he only lost $1.2 billion. I mean, what's the big deal? Yeah, but if a Republican takes a pencil home that he wasn't authorized to have, I mean, they'll hold that. Even better than that, how about Henry Waxman holding hearings, spending about $27 million to interrogate Roger Clemens for stealing second base? Here they're legalizing drugs so every kid and his mother can be a junkie. They can take down this is a drug-free zone within 2 blocks of the school. They can take all those signs down now because the kids will be smoking weed in the classroom. And they'll all have glaucoma. So they're spending all this money to break Roger Clemens, but John Corzine, who screwed farmers, and doesn't know where the money is. He doesn't know where the money is. Yeah. He has been dragging out this. They're dragging out John's hanging. And I just hope when he gets the maximum that he gives up 6 other Democrats. This one says, "Do you know who sent you this email? I hate that. I'm going to pass on that. Maxine Waters is being checked out. Pharmacy queues show price Greeks are paying for credit breakdown." Oh, let's see what that's all about, because that might be happening here next. Rick Scott vows to purge vote list. Bobby Jindal says something. Pharmacy queues show price Greeks. Oh, pharmacy queues show price Greeks are paying for credit breakdown. This link has been blocked for your safety. They do that. AOL does that. If it's anything that comes from the Republican side, they block it for my security. But we're taking too long here. Taking too long. Can't do it. Sorry. Sayonara. Let's see what else we got. Friend of life, here's your free gift. Oh, they're getting close. They're getting close to overturning Roe versus Wade. I didn't notice. Did you know that when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of child murder, Roe versus Wade, they left a window of opportunity? You know what the window of opportunity was to overturn it? If we could establish when life begins, because the Supreme Court didn't want to get involved in establishing when life begins. So once we can establish when life begins, we can then overturn Roe versus Wade. When do you think life begins? Yeah, I wonder. Back in our day. You'll like this one. I found it. Okay. Back in our day. This is going to blow your mind. Checking out at the store, the young cashier suggested to the older woman that she should bring her own grocery bags because plastic bags weren't good for the environment. The woman apologized and explained, "We didn't have this green thing back in my earlier days." And let me just say something about the green thing. Darrell Issa had hearings today, and they had people there from the Labor Statistics Bureau. And they were saying that the jobs statistics are lies. That anybody who had a job previously, say, building widgets, and now the widgets classify as a green project, they're being introduced as new jobs because they're green jobs. And she had a coffee cup in her hand, and she was saying that, see, they have the word green on it. And so, therefore, they were making a green statement, you know, go green, you'll be in the scene. And she says, well, that qualifies, that's a new job now. To see, the styrofoam cup maker is still there as an employee, and he was counted a long time ago, but now they're going to count him again because he's green. So the woman apologized and explained, "We didn't have this green thing back in my earlier days." The clerk responded, "That's our problem today. Your generation did not care enough to save our environment for future generations." She was right. Our generation didn't have the green thing in its day. Back then, we returned milk bottles, soda bottles, and beer bottles to the store. The store sent them back to the plant to be washed and sterilized and refilled so it could use the same bottles over and over. So they really were recycled. But we didn't have the green thing back in our day. Grocery stores bagged our groceries in brown paper bags that we reused for numerous things, most memorable besides household garbage bags, was the use of brown paper bags as book covers for our school books. Remember that? This was to ensure that public property, the books provided for our use by the school, were not defaced by our scribblings. Then we were able to personalize our books, but too bad we didn't do the green thing back then. We walked upstairs because we didn't have an escalator in every store and office building. We walked to the grocery store and didn't climb into a 300-horsepower machine every time we had to go two blocks. But she was right. We didn't have the green thing in our day. Back then, we washed the baby's diapers because we didn't have the throwaway kind. We dried clothes on a line, not in an energy-gobbling machine burning up 220 volts. Wind and solar power really did dry our clothes back in our early days. Kids got hand-me-down clothes from their brothers and sisters, and not always of brand-new clothing. But that young lady is right. We didn't have the green thing back in our day. Back then, we had one TV or a radio in the house. Not a TV in every room, and the TV had a small screen the size of a handkerchief. Not a screen the size of the state of Montana. In the kitchen, we blended and stirred by hand because we didn't have electric machines to do everything for us. When we packaged a fragile item to send in the mail, we used wadded-up old newspaper to cushion it, not a styrofoam or plastic bubble wrap. Back then, we didn't fire up an engine and burn gasoline just to cut the lawn. We used a push mower that ran on human power. We exercised by working, so we didn't need to go to the health club to run on treadmills that operate on electricity. But she's right, we didn't have the green thing back then. We drank from a fountain when we were thirsty instead of using a cup or a plastic bottle every time we had a drink of water. We refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying a new pen. We replaced the razor blades in the razor instead of throwing away the whole razor, just because the blade got dull. But we didn't have the green thing back then. Back then, people took the streetcar or a bus, and kids rode their bikes to school or walked instead of turning their moms into a 24-hour taxi service. We had one electrical outlet in a room, not an entire bank of sockets to power a dozen appliances, and we didn't need a computerized gadget to receive a signal beamed from satellites 2,000 miles out in space in order to find the nearest burger joint. But isn't it sad the current generation laments how wasteful we old folks were just because we didn't have the green thing back then? Please forward this on to another selfish old person who needs a lesson in conservation from smart-ass young people. We don't like being old in the first place, so it doesn't take much to piss us off. I thought you'd like that. Well, you've been so good, it's time for another patriotic tune. Stand by. We're going to do it all. Oh, yes, my studio disappeared. I got to go find my studio. Let's see what we got here. My episodes, Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry I got to do this to you. I hate my computer. I never should have bought the wooden one. I should have got something that was in hard plastic. Website found, waiting for reply. What else can we talk about? I told you I seen the movie with Andy Garcia. It was great. And they had 6 commercials before that. And for other movies, and they were all crap movies. All crap movies. Unbelievable crap. I'm going to have to read you from the good book, I'm afraid. Well, I guess we could do a tribute to the troops. After all, it is their day, and they died to make it so. All right, we're back. Okay. I'll give you another patriotic tune. Would you like to hear the Star Spangled Banner? I'm dedicating this tune to a guy named Bill Press, who has a radio show, who wants the Star Spangled Banner removed. You know, it's like he said, now that we got the crosses, we're removing the crosses, it's time to remove the Star Spangled Banner. And what Harry Truman would tell this guy is, teach your grandmother to suck eggs. Okay, that do jar your preserves? Okay, want to hear a little bit from Chapter 6? You know who's a big anti-Catholic? Maureen Dowd. And they just announced tonight that she was struck by lightning 5 times in the men's room at the Vatican. Yeah, unbelievable. Imagine that, to have all that hate in your heart. no loving thy neighbor as thyself? How sad. How absolutely sad. Okay, so 6,000 guys died on D-Day. I was in the movies watching Saving Private Spielberg, and when they showed the opening scene, you know, when they're all coming out of the boats, the ramps drop, and they're walking into a hail of machine gun fire, and there's one guy on the beach. He's staggering on the beach, and his guts are in his hands. Got a big open belly wound. And all the kids in the audience started laughing. They thought it was funny. And I said to myself, if they ever seen that for real, they wouldn't be the same for 10 years. Unbelievable. What are we going to do with this generation? It's been destroyed. The country's been destroyed. They don't even remember the Civil War, when all those Americans died, fought each other for principle. There's a guy named Steve Earle. He's got a tune. We're all going down to Dixie. And he tells you how he belonged to a regiment from Maine. And he just got off the boat. As an Irishman, he was wanted in his own country by the Brits. So he left for the United States, and as soon as he put his foot on American soil, he got drafted, and he had to go down the South and fight for the United States. And today that happens also. There's 14 guys named Gomez who have died in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's just one name. There's 58,000 guys on a wall who served their country. Whether they liked it or not, that they were there. And Jimmy from Brooklyn told me something very interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you. When we first got into Vietnam and the French were leaving, a French general had told an American general, your biggest enemy here is heroin, and it's destroyed my troops, and it'll destroy your troops. And Jimmy said that a lot of guys who died in combat actually OD'd. How sad, huh? I didn't like it when they turned Saigon into a beer parlor. I thought that we shouldn't even have been in Saigon. We should have been in the outskirts. And we never should have done R&R in South Vietnam. Should have went somewhere else for it. And we shouldn't have built up a black market. See, American dollars corrupt everything. Here's Steve Earle.
Flows. And the captain's brother was a railroad
that movie I saw tonight, The Greater Glory, with Andy Garcia, there's a guy who plays a Cristero, who played King John in the Robin Hood movie, with the guy that was in Dances with Wolves. But the guy that played King John in that Robin Hood movie, he plays a great Mexican Cristero. And he was very good. There is the movie centers around a 12-year-old boy who was captured by, it looks like it's Bolsheviks that took over Mexico. And they wanted to shut down the Catholic Church. So they execute priests, they close churches, they forbid anybody to go to church. And they're very violent and very merciless. And this 12-year-old kid, they capture him, and all he has to do is denounce Christ, and he can walk away. And he refuses to do it. So they beat him up, they punch him around, they torture him. And one of the torture scenes is they cut the soles of his feet with a sharp knife. And then they make him walk into his grave that they have dug for him. And you got to see it. In the history of our country, there are people who have died for this country and died for their faith. And there are people throughout the world that do the same. And that's why they're called martyrs. I'm not talking about the Muslim martyrs who have to blow everybody up with them. I'm talking about people who stand for a belief and are martyred because of it. Nathan Hale's a great example. 21 years old. I regret, but I have but one life to give to my country. I mean, what's greater than that? And there's not even a song of tribute for Nathan Hale. So what's in the news? Rick Scott vows to purge Florida voters' lists of felons. Florida Governor Rick Scott tells Newsmax TV that the victory of his Wisconsin counterpart, Scott Walker, and that's why the stock market went up to 150 points today, because help is on the way, as George Bush used to say. But I also hear that the Republicans are not going to fight for New York. They're going to bypass it. And that's it. That's it. Because there are people here that are fighting for the Republican Party, and for the Republican Party to bypass it, even if they know they're going to lose, they should at least make a Robert Bruce effort. You know what a Robert Bruce effort is? Robert Bruce was fighting the British. 7 times he went to the battlefield, and 7 times he was defeated. He was completely disillusioned, and he was hiding out in a barn. And he noticed the spider spinning a web. And the spider spun the web 7 times and failed. And the 8th time, the spider completed the web. So Robert Bruce went out and fought the British for the 8th time. And he lost. He came back to the barn. He killed the spider. I'm only kidding. He supposedly, the story goes, on the 8th try, he beat the British. So Scott Walker the victory of Scott Walker in a recall election validates his own policies in the Sunshine State and says that it may even be a bellwether for the November election between President Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Scott also vowed to purge Florida voter rolls. That's Rick Scott. Purge Florida voter rolls of felons to fight threats from the Obama Justice Department. Now, you know, the Justice Department went into Wisconsin yesterday, and if it was a close vote, they were going to disqualify only the Republican votes. This is your Justice Department, or as I call them, the Demo Camo Dirty Work Boys. Yeah. Let's hope that Eric Holder pays the price for being a bag man for Clinton and being an accessory to murder, the murder of 70,000 Mexicans. Bobby Jindal rises as Romney's VP choice. So they get the Indian vote. That's the Indian, not the American Indian. But they'll probably get the American Indian vote, too, if American Indians are allowed to vote. I don't know if they are or not. We were talking about it tonight. I don't even think they got communications on reservations. There was something a couple of years ago that I realized. They either didn't have fax machines or they didn't have computers on these reservations. I forget which one. But it... And Don Imus was talking today that instead of feeding Africa, let's feed the American Indian. They don't have the right food. We should treat them better. They are our brothers. They serve in the military alongside the white eyes. And blacks have white eyes, too. Yeah, we all have whites in our eyes. Let me give you another tune. I don't see anything there that's going to really make your day. We got 2 minutes left. Wow, the show is over. What can we give you? Come on, give you something here. We'll give you McNamara's band.
My name is McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul.
Oh, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns, they play the way. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy tootles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Right now we are rehearsing for a very swell affair. The annual celebration, all the gentry will be there. When General Grant to Ireland came, he took me by the hand. Says he, I never saw the lights of McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy tootles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
My name is Uncle Julius, and from Sweden I did come to play with McNamara's band and beat the big bass drum. And when I march along the street, the ladies think I'm grand. They shout, "There's Uncle Julius playing and with an Irish band." Oh, I wear a bunch of shamrocks and a uniform of green, and I'm the funniest looking Swede that you have ever seen. There are O'Briens and Ryans and Sheens and Means, they come from Ireland, but by Yemeni I'm the only Swede in McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go banging and the cymbals clang and the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes to play. And Hennessy tootles the flute and the music is something grand.
A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
That's our show. Remember the boys at D-Day.